Revelation Revealed, Part 5, Section 69, Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Rider on the White Horse. Verse 11 reads, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. We know this rider is Jesus, but for John to see heaven open like this, like every angel, redeemed person in heaven is now standing, watching this age come to an end as Jesus leaves heaven with his army to come to earth. With justice, he, meaning Jesus, judges and makes war. Jesus makes war. That is not the common view of Jesus in our modern Western society and even in the church. Verse 12, his eyes were like blazing fire. We've seen that in chapter 1. And on his head are many crowns. He wears every crown of every nation. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. I really don't know this name. I don't know why he has this name, but he obviously has a name that only he knows. 13, he is dressed in a robe dipped with blood, and his name is the Word of God. Now, is this the name that no one knows? Well, that's questionable. Maybe this name is a new name, a word never even uttered or heard of before, but means the Word of God. His robe is dipped in blood. Now, why is this robe dipped in blood? Two possibilities. One is this is the blood from the cross. I do not believe that. I believe this is blood from war. I could be wrong. Isaiah 63:1 says that Jesus will return from Bozrah with a blood-stained robe. And I believe this is what is being talked about here. Jesus comes to rescue his people, and his robe is stained in the blood of the nations because of warfare. Now, I won't get into it here, but there is much debate on just how Jesus comes. Where does he come first? Some people say he comes to Bozrah first and then to the Mount of Olives. Some say the opposite. 14, the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. I believe the armies are the redeemed. We are the ones that have been dressed in white righteous robes, not the angels. 15, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which he strikes down the nations. The nations will fall with the word of his mouth. They will be gathered together against Israel to fight against Israel. Jesus comes and rescues his redeemed Israelis, the remnant, and he defeats the nations of the world with the sword of his mouth. We might actually see like a flame coming out of his mouth when he utters those words of victory. He will rule them, the meaning the nations, with a scepter of iron. This is speaking of the thousand-year rule of Christ. And we have to note here that if Jesus has to rule the nations with a scepter of iron, that means the nations have a possibility of rejecting his rule. You don't need to rule with a rod of iron if everybody is always compliant. It gives us a bit of a hint of what the thousand years look like. A lot in the Bible is said about the thousand-year rule of Christ, but you got to go digging for it. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. He is coming as a representative of God's wrath. God does exhibit wrath. 16, on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name. Here we go, another name. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is supreme over all things spiritual and material. That is the Lord and Savior that you and I have given our lives to.